You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years of ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone is the General Director of Bearing Precious Seed Canada and Pastor Emeritus of the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hopes of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
This is Maxwell Sherrod.
This is Haley Sherrod from Lighthouse Baptist Church
in Baxter.
Welcome to Tim Talks.
And thank you to the Sherrod kids for their opening. That was awesome. You guys did a great job.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, had a great time with them a few weeks ago at their church, preaching for Lighthouse Baptist Church in Baxter, Ontario. They are wonderful, wonderful children. They're adopted. They're adopted kids, and that's a very special thing. Their mom and dad chose them to be their children, and that's an
Amen.
Amazing thing. I'm so thankful for that. So thank you for that, and thank you for being great kids. And Maxwell said that when he grows up, he wants to be a missionary and an astronaut. Astronaut. He's having trouble with astronaut.
Amen. I had a roommate in Bible college who was adopted, and he said that kids started teasing him at school, you know, first, second grade, and he went home crying, you know, and he said, my mom changed my whole life. You know, she said, when you go back to school tomorrow, you just tell them this. And so he went back the next day. They started teasing him, and he said, hey, your parents got stuck with who you are. My parents chose me.
That's
so
right.
He said, that changed my life, you know?
Yep, yep. That's why I use that word chosen. I heard that same illustration
Absolutely.
Years ago.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. So our parents got stuck. My parents took me to an orphanage and said, can we trade them in for something better?
My kids got stuck.
Yeah, you're not kidding with us.
They got stuck with me.
Yeah, you're not kidding, man. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Yeah, wow. It's an amazing thing. I know a lot of folks who have adopted children. It's just a very special thing. It's not an easy thing. It's not easy. I have a niece who's adopted some children, and it's very costly. It's quite an ordeal, but man, they have absolutely
it's a long process.
Loved it.
Yeah.
It's a long process, but they have loved it, and those children love them. And I saw those children
Amen.
With Patrice and Amanda on that Sunday. I was there and saw how much they love them. Oh man, it did my heart good. It was awesome. So thank you for that.
Hey, we're adopted. We're adopted in the family
yeah.
of God.
Yeah, and I've used that. That's God chose us. He's chosen us, and we chose him. And as an adoptive child, you have an opportunity to say no, and we chose him. Awesome. Great illustration. Thanks for that today. Hey, did you get a good night's rest?
I did. Praise the Lord.
Wow, because that's unusual for you? No, did not. Did not. Suffering through, you know, just being warm at night, getting hot at night. And if Ruthie and I aren't in a room that's black and cool, we have a hard time sleeping. And my wife grew up with a fan running. She had a hair dryer. She slept with a hair dryer running, summer, winter, and fall. It's more in the winter. But she loves the droning sound of the motor and the warm air blowing on her. But now she can't stand any heat. So we have another fan that blows, and we have a ceiling fan going, and the air conditioning's on, and we still can't seem to get quite cool enough at night when we sleep. So I told her, I said, well, let's take the snowmobile suits off and see if that helps.
Hey, I know what'll work.
What's that?
Find yourself a clock, wind it up, and listen to the tick, 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 ticking all night long. It just put you right out.
For the quarantine I had to do, I have a trailer that I got a few years ago, and I gutted it out and redid it, and I parked it up at a fishing hole at a friend's place. And I was at a meeting, where was that? Oh, I was in Michigan. was in Michigan with Brother Harrison, Tom Harrison, and they gave away these little clocks as part of their anniversary thing, and it's those little, it's a battery operated, but it goes tick, 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 and so that's I took great. That up to the trailer, and I thought, I'll take that up there, and then I'll have a clock up there, and so I took it up, and I actually had two of them, and I put one out in the little living area, and then I put one in the bedroom because it's got glow-in-the-dark. It's so dark up there, you can't see anything, so I thought, well, at least I'll be able to see the hands on the clock. So about 2 o'clock in the morning, I hear this tick, 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 tick. I yelled out, Wilvin! Oh, man. I got rid of it. I couldn't keep it in there. So, yeah, thanks, Brother Dan, for doing that to me. He got that clock and hit it all over this place where I was staying and drove me absolutely crazy with that wind-up clock. So, and then the bell ringer.
Cheektowaga, New York.
Oh, it was. It was. So, yeah. So, tell folks about your sleep problems. Tell them what you suffer through with your sleep.
All right. Just a little synopsis. I wound up finding out, and it took a long time discovering, but I've got restless leg syndrome, RLS. And it's akin to Parkinson's. It's a central nervous disorder, and I've got 5 different sleep disorders. But if my body does not produce dopamine. Now I know somebody as dopey as me, you know, it should. But and dopamine is what causes you to be able to sleep, and so I have to take medicine. And it's Parkinson's medicine is what it is, and they find out it works better on RLS than Parkinson's, and so I have to take that to allow me to sleep, and then I've got to take another pill to have the feelings of the restless leg to go away. So one is the affects the sleep, and the other affects the feeling, and then I've got other situations as well. But I struggled with that for many, many years. And here in our church, there was a year, it seemed like it was about 6 or 7 years ago, that I told the congregation if I couldn't get this in check, that I'd probably have to resign, because it just wow. Literally, I would get maybe 2 hours one night, maybe an hour another night, maybe 2 hours one night, and then maybe go 36 hours without any sleep. And so every one of us can get by, you know, on a bad night or something, but you can't function long term, you know, like that.
That restless leg, you explained one time, it feels like there's ants crawling up and down inside your skin, right? Something like that?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a cross between feeling that or like your legs are asleep, but you have to move. You have to move. You can't even lie down. I remember many times, 3:30 in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, I've not even slept 2 minutes, and I'm just staggering around the house, and I'd just flop down on the couch, and, oh, I want to go to sleep. And 5 minutes later, I got to get up. You know, it was torture.
Yeah, that's a tough time for you. I remember you going through that. That was tough. Yeah, I one thing that I learned, and this is what a lot of preachers don't do, I think. My preacher told me when I was a kid in college, he said, buy good shoes and a great mattress, because you're going to spend a third of your life walking, a third of your life sleeping, and a third of your life working. And so I never had a good mattress. We always bought cheap mattresses. You know, somebody was getting rid of a bed and the mattress is only 5 years old, so we'll take it because that's new to us. My wife bought a brand new mattress. She spent $1,000. I just about killed her. She spent $1,000 on a mattress for my, I think it was my 40th birthday. And I'm telling you what, Brother Dan, it changed our lives forever. That mattress gave us the greatest night's sleep we have ever had in our life. It was amazing. We were comfortable. I woke up rested. My body wasn't aching. I wasn't, you know, in the well of a bed that had dipped down because it was so wore out. Oh, my goodness. And it had kind of a pillow top thing on it. Oh, my goodness. I fell in love with that thing. And so we've had good mattresses from that time since. And, you know, they last a little bit longer when they're good ones. And so we've done that, and that's been a great help to us. We still, again, struggle with, you know, being 50, you know, 7 years of age. I usually have to get up at least once in the night, go to the bathroom. So that breaks my sleep. And that, you know, just being warm, just dealing with, you know, that warmth stuff. You just don't feel as rested. I find that I do have to take a nap in the afternoon sometimes, or I do get tired, you know, earlier in the evening. So I want to get that straightened out. And I have used things like melatonin to help go to sleep. That does help. It helps get you to sleep. It doesn't always keep you asleep, but stuff like that. So, and then you got to quit drinking coffee after about 4 o'clock. If I drink anything with caffeine after 4 o'clock, I am done. So that's a problem. Do you have anything else that keeps you up besides the
exercise? Helps.
Yeah.
Helps you be able to get to sleep too. So, so now that it's been about 15 years, I think, that I've been on, you know, this medicine at one point or another. But for me, if I wind up eating late, it winds up absorbing, you know, like shielding the medicine from getting into the bloodstream from my stomach. You know, so anytime I eat late, it's going to affect, it's going to make a slow work of my medicine getting in and starting to do the job. And so stopping doing that has helped me immensely. Exercise has helped me more. And the more that I continue to lose weight and get healthier, I've noticed my sleeping has been better. My restless leg will always be there. But my sleep has been better.
I find another thing that really helps me sleep well at night is if I have a couple Lay's potato chips before I go to sleep.
It's the LPC. Return LPC. Of the LPC.
I can't let it go. They're everywhere. I found a bag in my computer bag this morning. They're everywhere. I've got a stash. They're like hiding, you know, alcohol around the house. They're everywhere. I keep them beside my bed. I wake up in the middle of the night, I have a little LPC, Lay's potato chips. Love you. What kind of pillow do you have? What kind of pillow do you use?
I don't know. I don't know. I always want a thick pillow, and my wife always wants a thin pillow, you know, but I know she's always gotten good pillows.
Yeah. I love feather pillows. I'm a feather pillow guy. I had the same pillow for, I don't know. I had it as a kid. I brought it into my married life. And I had children. I remember we went on vacation. The kids were teenagers, so that's a long time. Probably 25, 30 years. I don't know. I had the same pillow. Ratty old-looking feather pillow. My kids laughed because you could roll it up into what looked like a marshmallow. It was about that size. We went on vacation one time, and I left the pillow in the motel room. I take it with me when I travel.
Oh, man.
And so I lost it, and I cried for several days. And, you know, my family's like, finally, we got rid of that rat thing. It's terrible. You know, it was all yellow from drooling on it and stuff. And my wife tried to wash it, but it was just stained, you know, from hair care products and stuff. And so the kids are all dancing around. Well, I called that hotel, and I said, hey, I said, is there any chance you found my pillow? Oh, yeah, we got it right here. I said, could you send that back to me? So they set it in a box that was like 6 inches by 6 inches. And so I called the family in the living room. I said, hey, kids, look what I got. I got to show you something. They're like, what? I said, family meeting. Come on. So they all get in there, and I open that box, and I pull that pillow out of there. They're like, no, it's back. And I kept it for another several years, and finally got down to like 3 feathers. And I said, I got to get a new pillow. So I got a new feather pillow. But pillows can make a difference in the way you sleep.
Yep.
And it depends on if you're a side sleeper or a back sleeper. Who knew there was a difference? But my wife's had about 25 different pillows. She just has a hard time finding a pillow that she feels really comfortable with. And I think she's finally got one. I don't know what it is, but I've thought about, you know, we've been talking about being too warm, and there are cooling pillows. There are pillows that have gel in it and all that kind of stuff. Maybe I'll get
one
of those for her.
Yep. And I don't want to make a joke out of this, but there are people who have leg pain, knee pain, and you can buy a leg pillow, you know, a pillow to put between your knees, you know, it's made that way, you know, to keep to keep your knees from hurting when they're hitting each other if you're laying on your side. So, yeah, you know, those are some people who have some real joint pain, they say that, man, that really helps them sleep too.
That's supposed to be good for your back as well and hips and all that kind of stuff. And I've never used one of those. I've not had a need to use one of those. I will tell you that for feather pillows, definitely the best for pillow fights. Absolutely the best. You can crank those babies up.
Well, yeah. You can knock somebody out with one of those.
Oh, yeah. My wife's got those 25 other pillows. She's never beat me yet. She can't. She can't do it.
It's like putting sand in the sock. It winds up being a blackjack, you know?
There you go. So for you kids listening, you might want to invest one now if you got a bigger brother. You could take him out with that bad boy. One night he comes at you, crack him upside the head with that thing, full force. He's down.
We were coming back from Smite one year whenever I was a teenager. We were in Boston, and we were having a pillow fight on the bus. And Denise clocked me with the pillow, but she didn't hit me with the pillow. She hit me with her fist. Gave me a bloody nose, man.
I love it.
She said she missed with the pillow, but yeah, right. You know, we don't know.
Yeah, well, that's why you've been in submission your whole life, right there. I'll tell you what, though, if that pillow breaks, if you're in a pillow fight and that feather pillow lets loose, it's a disaster.
Oh man,
it's a
cleanup time.
You better do it outside. Have the pillow fight outside. This is completely off track, but I was at a camp in Vancouver years ago, and they used to have like a huge pillow type fight at the camp. They said, "Bring anything you want. Bring anything you want for this fight. You could bring chocolate. You could bring syrup. You could bring maple syrup. You could bring whatever you wanted." And they had a fight.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah. They said, get it out of your system. Don't do this through the week. You get one night, and they'd go out, and they would do that. Then they'd give them feather pillows, and those feather pillows would be going everywhere, all over that chocolate syrup, all over the maple syrup. They would bring jam. They'd bring peanut butter, and they'd hit each other with all that stuff. It was really, really fun, but it did get out of hand, and they had to quit doing it. Sad day.
I guess. Oh, my goodness, man.
Some kid broke his arm. It was bad.
Yeah.
The peanut butter.
Wow.
Yeah. So that might give you a good night's sleep as well. Do you use any kind of sleep aids other than your medication? Have you ever tried like melatonin or, you know, NyQuil now has a sleep thing?
No, none of that stuff. Every once in a while, if I'm really sick, I will use some NyQuil, but more for the sickness than the sleep kind of stuff.
Yeah. I was on our trip in Israel and I got sleep deprived. I went like 4 or 5 days without sleep. I just could not. I jet lagged or whatever, thinking about the next day or whatever. And your wife gave me some ZQuil tablets, NyQuil. The sleep part of NyQuil is not alcohol. A lot of people think they put alcohol in it and that's what makes you sleepy. But there is a dopamine type product in it. And she gave me some of those. Oh, my goodness. They knocked me out. And I've had this only a couple times in my life where I've had sleep deprivation so bad I went 3-4 days. And you get where you think you're losing your mind. And once you get that good night's rest and get that clock reset, it's like, it's amazing. It's like a brand new life starting almost. And so she did that for me. And that worked really well. I've not had to use those since, I don't think. Well, maybe one other time. But man, those were awesome.
Yeah, well, long term effects of not sleeping well. I have atrial fib, and so you know my episode that I had at Ben Gurion Airport there in Tel Aviv. So you know when you don't sleep right, it does affect you in the long run. And I had so many years of poor sleep that your heart just overworks, and so that's what had happened. You know, there in Israel, I wasn't getting good sleep for 10 days, and you know, the heart just went, "I'm tired, I'm checking out." You know, so that AFib is at least for me, that's a contributor to that. And so I've only had that happen maybe about 5 times in my life, but unfortunate that it certainly happened there. But you need to sleep. Now, all right, now how we've got a lot of young people listening. And normally young people don't have a problem sleeping, but young people need to learn to go to bed at a certain time and to get up at a decent time. And I know this is summer, but learning to get in a good habit, sleep in one morning, but then get up at all the other mornings. You know, set your alarm. If you don't want to get up at 6 like it was for school, at least set your alarm and get up at 8. Get up, get out of your pajamas, get showered, get cleaned up, and, you know, get some activity done in your day. Don't just wear your pajamas all day and play video games, you know, and never brush your teeth. You know, so, you know, have some good habits on the other side as well.
Yeah, I think this whole COVID thing has really messed a lot of people up with that. You know, for the first part of this thing, I mean, people just stayed in their houses, you know, almost 24 hours a day and had nothing to do, so they did lounge around. And the joke was, you know, I went to church in my pajamas because we watched it online and all that stuff. And I think it maybe has created some bad habits that way. But I agree with you. I think that it's good to get up and, you know, get the day going. And it's kind of like the eating thing. It's good habits. It's just having good habits.
So are you a morning person or a night person?
I am definitely a night person. I am a night person. I am not a morning person at all. I can get up in the morning, and I've gotten up to go fishing at, you know, 3-4 in the morning, to travel 3-4 in the morning. Mm-hmm. I can do it. I find that I need to have the same cycle every day. I can break it once in a while, but I'm a night person. And part of my sleep issues sometimes is that my wife and I love to watch the news. Usually we'll do that in bed. And we'll watch something funny or some kind of documentary before we go to bed. And sometimes I get your mind, you know, racing on things. And a big part of my sleep problems is that I get thinking about things, especially when I was pastoring. I could be thinking about a problem, or I'd be thinking about some financial thing or, you know, a program. And man, I would wrestle with getting to sleep. That was a big part of it. So I did find myself staying up later and later because I'd be thinking about those things. And I just got into a habit where as I get a little older, that's changing some. But it was nothing for me to stay up till 12, 12:30, 1 o'clock, and then be up for, you know, 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning to go to work, which, you know, should be enough sleep for most people. But, I'm a night person. You're a morning person. You like the mornings.
Yeah, actually, I am both. I'm a night person and a morning person, but by choice and because of the necessity of sleep, I have become a willing morning person. But, you know, I've always been an either or. I mean, whenever I'm awake, I'm fully awake. And that was a funny thing. When we got married, you know, I wake up humming, whistling, whatever, and Denise is like, don't bother me till I get my coffee, you know, and so I'm just bing, you know, when I'm awake. But so I have, by choice, become more of a morning person because I've tried to focus on getting to sleep, and so I'm normally up at 5. Whenever I sleep in, it's 6:30, but, you know, some of that, though, is habit of always getting up at 6 o'clock every morning.
Yeah, I would like to be a morning person because when I'm up in the morning, especially if I'm going fishing or hunting or something, I love watching nature come awake. It's the sun come up, the birds, you know, animals.
Yes.
A big old 5-6 pound bass come up out of the water at, you know, early in the morning is an exciting, exciting time. I'm that night guy. I feel better about that. And I can get up in the morning, but I don't want to. And I don't know. I think I'm a night guy because I don't want to miss anything. I don't want to miss anything going on. So I want to wait till everybody's out. Then I can go to sleep because nothing's going to happen. That's it.
Well, as a pastor, you know, we have to make sure we're up at different times. You know, especially now for us here in Ohio, many of the COVID restrictions are lifted. I'm going to hospitals once again. You know, people have surgeries, you know, go in and pray with them and make those visits. And so, you know, many times people are, you know, I'll find out, when do you have to be there for outpatient surgery? Well, we have to get there at 4:30, but we're going back at, you know, 5:15. So you've got to be able to get up, and you've got to be able to, you know, make yourself, you know, get up at things. And we've all been in situations that we've overslept. But, you know, if you're the kind of person that either refuses to go to bed, you don't want to go to bed, you know, a lot of people, younger pastors, they're into video games. I like playing video games, but about the only reason I'm on them at night is if I can't sleep, and it takes my mind off of my restless leg for a little bit. But, you know, you've got to be able to have self-control and make yourself go to bed at a decent time so you're going to be productive for your day.
Yeah, I can tell you've been sleeping better. I can tell. Because Brother Towns out in Vancouver said, "Hey, where's Brother Wolven? He's been playing video games for a long time. We miss him."
Well, really, that's about the only time that I was on them, you know, late at night. And of course, you know, a lot of young people, they're younger people, you know, they're in their 20s and 30s. But, you know, to me, that when your youngest kid is 31, you know, these guys, I don't want to insult them, you know, but these younger guys, you know, they're the family, you know, the kids are asleep, they've gone to bed, and that's the first chance that they get to sort of do something for them. And so they log in at 10 o'clock or whatever, you know, and so I've not been on there. So that means good, you know.
Yeah. I will tell you, I'm a very light sleeper. You know that, man. I if you drop a pin on a hard floor, I'm going to wake up. I'm going to hear it. And people have asked me, why, man? And when I wake up, it's like, boom, it scares me. You've scared me, a little goof, and several times in my life. Oh, my goodness, banging pots and pans and all kinds of things. And I come up out of that, you know, sleep. You know, I kept my phone by the bed. Even before cell phones, I kept the phone right by the bed. So if somebody, you know, needed the pastor, there was an accident, somebody's in the hospital, I was up. And I'll tell you this, as much as I don't like to get up in the morning, if I have to get up for something like that, I am up, I am dressed, I am, you know, brush my teeth, and I'm out the door in just a very short period of time. I can do it if I have to, I just don't want to. That's the problem. So, well, I feel better already.
All right. Well, we've had a week here of talking about health. What do we say to try to encourage pastors to get healthy? Because I mean, we're not the poster boys of being good and healthy. So
well, I don't know.
You know, how do you encourage pastors to get?
There you go.
I think I've helped a lot of people face their fears and help them. Okay, here's my summation. Number one, you have to see that either there is going to be a problem or there is a problem. I think you have to see that and admit that. Then I think you have to determine in your own heart and mind that you're going to do something about that, whether anybody helps you or not. It's got to be you. You got to be responsible for you. And then I think you have to plan a long-term plan. It can't just be, I'm going to lose 20 pounds, and then I'll go back to the same lifestyle that I was living. And I think you have to have something that you can do for the rest of your life. I'm riding my bike. I love it. I'm walking with my wife. I can do that for a very long period of time. I'm doing it in part to get in shape for hockey if we ever open up again. So that's part of my motivation. Plus, I do want to feel better. I want to drop a size in my clothes. And my biggest struggle is that it takes a long time to lose a little bit of weight. A pound a week is what most people, maybe 2 pounds a week is what most people lose. Mm-hmm. How long have you been trying to lose weight now, Brother Walden?
I've been working at it this entire year, and we're in June.
6 months, and you've lost how much weight?
Today I'm at 47.
Yeah, so that's phenomenal. I mean, you're doing phenomenal. But to lose 47 pounds, to take 6 months to do that, most people aren't prepared to give that much time.
Well, it's because I was so much overweight. I mean, that's the truth. It's because I was so overweight. You know, I've got a weight goal for whenever I turn 60 on August 28th. And then from there, if I hit that goal, I'll have like another about 20 after that to where I will be at my ideal weight. And I know those last 20 is going to take 6 to 9 months, maybe a year. Because the only way to get down, whenever you get so far, the only way to really get down to where your optimum weight would be is going to be work and work and work and work. And that doesn't just happen in a week, you know. And so, and through this time, your body does, my body has plateaued, you know, like it dropped quickly and then you're level for about 2.5-3 weeks. And it's like, oh, man, but just keep going. And then the body starts cannibalizing the fat again, you know, so.
Yeah, yeah. And for folks that have lost large amounts of weight, they tell me the hardest thing is maintaining after you lose it. It's hard not to go back to that routine. And that's the tough part. The saddest thing I think about is if you hit that goal weight, you'll no longer be as big around as you are high. And I can't use that joke anymore.
I know. Exactly. I won't be Woven Square. Dan Woven Square.
Woven Round.
DW Square.
DW Square. So that's what I see. And I think it does. It comes with good sleep. It comes with good, you know, we use this term mental health. And I'm not, you know, I don't go off on that stuff. But there is something to keeping your mind healthy as well. And I think that comes with, you know, reading good things, listening to good things, being able to put things aside so that you can rest and go on. I think that's important. So I think it's just a self-motivation. It's a self-preservation. And, you know, you need the help of the Lord in this thing. You need to have good spiritual life. If your spiritual life's not right, you're not gonna be right healthy. You're not gonna be right. I mean, it's all part of the package, right? So that's what I say. Yeah, give me your summation and we'll close it off for today.
Well, for me, and I don't want to say anything that sounds demeaning in any way, but, you know, my dad passed away in October, and then my father-in-law passed away in January. And both of those men, now, my father-in-law was 91, my dad was 84, but they both had gotten to the point where they were not as active as they should be. And in the later years, the greatest problem is staying active, physically active. And of course, my father-in-law was active all of his life.
Right.
My dad is
a
pastor, and so not as active as what he should have been. But I saw that in their lives, you know, at the end of life. And I'm not saying that their lives could have been extended, but, you know, the quality of life up to the end, you know, just wasn't what it had been. And so I really, that has done as much as anything to teach both Denise and I stay active, get active, and stay active as long as you possibly can. And and you're going to be able to, you know, serve the Lord longer.
Yeah, amen, amen. And it's really about that, for your family, for your ministry. Obviously, the Lord can take us at any time, but humanly speaking, we have a responsibility to take care of the temple of God. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and we should treat it as if it's a rented property and treat it well and take care of it. So, yeah, I need you around for a while.
There's a big movement today, you know, that's more of a, I don't know how to express it properly, at least the way I see it, you know, of looks are everything, you know, looking down at somebody who's overweight, you know, oh, they must not be a good Christian. Look at me, you know, I'm you know, a macho guy or something, you know. I don't think that that's, in the long run, is going to really help. And I think it's not the best motivation. But, you know, let's put it this way. At 59, I don't expect to be a contemporary with guys that are 28, you know. But I don't want to be up there preaching and somebody who's 28 will look and go, wow, I hope I'm not like that when I'm that age. You know, so I don't want to be a detriment to the doctrine that I'm preaching.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a generational thing. You know, when we were kids, it didn't seem like weight was such an issue with a lot of people. It's definitely a growing concern, and we see that, you know, in publications and articles. We're a heavier generation, and we've just got to, on a whole, take better care. So that's where it's at. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to have any more Lay's potato chips today.
LPC.
I'm not going to have any tomorrow. I'm not going to have any the next day. What do you think of that?
Awesome. You're going to eat them all today.
No, they're all gone, and Ruthie's not going shopping for at least 3 days. She's funny. She always says, "You always tell me you want to lose weight, and then you get mad at me when I don't bring home Lay's potato chips." I'm like, "Well, it's a struggle." I'm Al Stone. I am chipless. I am chipless today.
And chipless.
I'm going through withdrawal symptoms. I'm getting a little cranky, and I hope to make it to Monday. Stick around and find out Monday if I made it or not. This is Al Stone of St. Thomas, Ontario, still traveling for the Canadian Gospel Project. Just picked up two new churches that are going to support Amen. Us. So that's exciting, and we praise the Lord for that. And got a few weeks where I'm going to be a little slower here. I haven't got any meetings for a little bit. So I'm going to take that time with my wife and family and enjoy some time. My son and I are going fishing together. I am so excited about that. We've not done that for a very, very, very long time. We're going to get to do that, so I'm thrilled to do that. So I'm Al Stone. I hope you have a great weekend.
This is Dan Wolven in Columbus, Ohio. Conversely, I'm working myself to the bone up at 5 a.m., and in bed at 2 a.m., just serving the Lord and working and busy. So, you know, that's just the other side of the ministry.
Yeah, and playing video games that entire time. This is Tim Talks.
No, seriously, pastors, let's concentrate on having good health. It may not give us one more day, but it can give us better days of what we have.
Yeah, you've inspired me. I'm going to bed. Good night, everyone. See you on Monday. Have a great day. This is Tim Talks.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.